Artist Carrie Schneider has returned to the Illinois State University Galleries. Her exhibition, Burning Houses, was on display there last year, and now she's back with a variety of works, including Reading Women. The photographer turned to her creative cohort to make a film and a series of photos depicting 100 women as they read a book from a favorite female author. Reading Women is part of a larger exhibition called Nine Trips Around the Sun, selected works from 2006 to 2015. ISU Gallery's head curator, Kendra Pates, says this is the largest and most comprehensive exhibition of Carrie Schneider's work so far.
She hadn't had a show of this nature, and it seemed like where she is in her artistic career and with the range of the projects she's done, it seemed like this would be this really prime opportunity. And once I had that idea, actually I felt this intense urgency, like I have to talk to her right away, I have to get this on the books right away because somebody else is going to do this first. And it was the type of project that I knew the Warhol Foundation would be interested in, because it's giving an artist their first really large-scale show, giving them a significant honorarium to produce new work. Also, we'll be working on Carrie's first monograph. So that won't come out until next year, but because of having the grant, we're able to commission multiple writers and make this beautiful hardback book.
Well, speaking of books, when you walk right into the University Galleries is an installation called Reading Women, and you started on this in 2011, went to 2014 with it, Carrie. Let's talk about this. What was your inspiration for this? Is this your way of looking at how women writers, women artists, maybe don't have the spotlight that they deserve in the world today? Are you exploring ideas like that through this?
Definitely. I think there are many different things that led to making this body of work, but one major thing is thinking about how the influence of women authors and writers and artists on my generation of creative peers, I think, is something that is really underappreciated or underrepresented. And so it was something I was really interested in exploring simply by asking people I knew to read a book of their choice written by a woman author. So it was a way of kind of just culling a really good reading list, you know, kind of just seeing, you know, who are my friends reading? Who are they inspired by?
There are 100 photographs in the series. So if people visit the exhibition, they'll see a selection. They'll just see 10 of those photographs. But all 100 women are represented in the accompanying film. Then there's also a list of all of the titles. And so as you start glancing through this list, you see this huge range from Angela Davis to Harper Lee to Roseanne Barr. You know, so they're sort of, you kind of expect perhaps in a project of this nature to see certain names. But then for me, I was surprised when I saw Roseanne Barr.
I would not have expected that.
Right. And so I think there's a really nice kind of range, and we get to see this sort of snapshot of creative influence.
Okay, Kendra, you mentioned the film. It's in this particular gallery. Let's walk in and take a look. So we not only have these stills outside of women reading, but you have film of women reading to accompany this. Why did you make that choice, Carrie?
The last few projects that I've made have been really interested in the difference between still and moving images and kind of seeing them side by side and how they differently represent time. And so watching a video of a woman reading, there's a durational quality to that that I think can only be alluded to in a still image. In the video, we're watching each woman read kind of in these moments of deep immersion. And so we see each one of them for about 3 to 5 minutes at her most engrossed, and then she turns the page, and that ushers in kind of the structural edit to the next sitter.
There's a feeling of voyeurism, but it's not an icky one. You know, it's actually a very calming sensation, I think.
There's this level of comfort, too, because they're in their own space. Importantly, though, like Carrie said, each time we see these women, they are at this moment of kind of complete immersion where they've forgotten that they're performing for a camera and they're just in their homes reading, engrossed by the text.
How did you accomplish that, Carrie? How did you get them to forget about the camera so they could be as natural as possible?
Well, I asked each one of them to sit for 2 hours. So during that kind of long duration of time, each one of them kind of just became immersed in the text. And my hope was that they started to forget that I was there in the room pointing the camera at them, and to kind of forget that I'm there, and then also to kind of, in a real physical way, just lose any sense of a pose. So you can see them, they're not aware of the camera, they're not stiff, they're not thinking about what they look like anymore. They're just kind of really in conversation with the text.
Kendra, there's a huge, long, long history of women depicted as reading in art. What is the appeal of that to artists?
Certainly many men have addressed this issue. And one of the things actually that Carrie was just mentioning in her lecture too, was thinking about what it means when a woman is the one depicting another woman reading. One of the sort of classic examples of that would be Mary Cassatt. I think the fact that they're engaged in this intellectual activity, so often the ways that women are presented to us through film and through imagery, they're not always engaged in intellectual activity. So thinking about these women having this power, they made these choices. Really the only stipulations Carrie put on the sitters were that they had to be somewhere that they could be lit by natural light, and they had to be willing to sit for 2 hours and read a book by a female author. They could make any other choices they want. So whether their pet became a part of it, or if they're playing music, or if they're shuddering because the subway is racing by, you know, they really were able to make a lot of the choices too.
Why did you choose, Carrie, to use natural light and get this sort of Vermeer-like quality of light coming in from the side in a lot of the photographs? And it's very warm and cozy.
Definitely. I think that there is an entire kind of art historical necessity to thinking about light in the way that it bathes a sitter for a portrait. And I think that there's nothing like light coming in through a window. And I wanted there to not be any supplemental lighting. I didn't want it to have any extra sort of theatricality to it. I wanted there to be a casualness where it felt like it was kind of, we were just in that person's environment, the natural. I wanted to kind of have as much naturalism to the portrait as possible.
How did your friends, your fellow artists, your fellow creators feel about being a part of this?
Well, you know, I think not everyone likes to be in front of a camera. Not everyone wants to be photographed, and I think for some of my friends it was something they weren't necessarily interested in right away. For me, even produces some anxiety thinking about having my portrait taken. It makes me a little uncomfortable, but I think the nature of this, the process of sitting for 2 hours, doing something you love of your own volition in your own space, I think there's something to that that makes it kind of the least painful scenario possible. Is my hope. Kendra also sat for the project. You'll see her.
Kendra.
Yeah, but for the project.
What book did you choose?
I read Virginia Woolf's The Waves.
Well, see, I wondered because there were a number of Virginia Woolf's in there. And why did you choose that?
Two, yeah.
Yes. The Waves has been a book that I've just come back to over and over. Just the way that Woolf was structuring time in it, and that there's not exactly a linear narrative. And I mean, obviously she was a master with language, and you can just sort of get lost in her words. It's a research material now for a future exhibition I'm doing. So while I was reading the book for Carrie, I had a pencil with me and I was scribbling these notes and underlining and circling and just really reading with a purpose. And in a way, it kind of felt like this gift to be a part of the project and also to just have that dedicated time to sit and read. We have small children, so I don't always have that kind of dedicated time to just sit and read a book like that that requires more than 15 minutes here and there.
Kind of a really beautiful byproduct of this project is getting to sit with people while they do something they love for a really a long period of time. So in the end, I've had so many people thank me for letting them do something, giving them an excuse to do something that they love to do that they often don't find enough time to do.
That's artist Carrie Schneider, along with curator Kendra Pates from the Illinois State University Galleries. Schneider says the first person to pose in her Reading Women series was actually herself. She wanted to see if it was too much to ask someone to pose for 2 hours. And the book she read for her own self-portrait was Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Schneider's work will be on display at the ISU Galleries through December 20th, and the Reading Women film is simultaneously being screened on the third floor of ISU's Milner Library. I'm Laura Kennedy.